Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
When your adult child is severely mentally ill and addicted, you get two choices in America. You can let them go back to the streets, back to the shelters, back to the slow motion suicide of homelessness, or you can keep them close in your guest house, in your spare room, in your life, and hope every single day that they don't hurt themselves or you. Rob and Michelle Reiner chose the second option. It killed them. But here's the part nobody wants to say out loud. What else were they supposed to do? Nick Reiner is facing 2 counts of first-degree murder. His defense attorney is building an insanity defense. And the public conversation has mostly split into 2 camps, people who blame Nick entirely and people who want to blame the mental health system. But the truth is uglier than either of those narratives. The truth is that Rob and Michelle Reiner were trapped. Legally, financially, emotionally trapped. And the system that was supposed to help them offered nothing but a series of impossible choices. This is a very deep, very large problem where there's issues here, here, over there, and back here, and that way too. We're going to get into all of this. Before we do, let me ask you this. Please press subscribe wherever it is you are listening to us or watching us. YouTube, podcast channels, whatever it may be, please do hit that. It helps us, lets other folks know you like our reporting, and then you get all of our stories as we put them out to you. And if you want to comment, there's 2 options for you. YouTube, you can certainly do it there. We're also on Substack now as well, hiddenkillers.substack.com, or just search Hidden Killers on Substack and you will find us. You can also access our episodes a day early. So if you want tomorrow's videos today, go and check out our Substack. And it also helps support our program as well. There's opportunities to subscribe and help support our reporting. So thank you for that. Let's continue on. So let me go into this and how this all works. Because if you haven't lived it, you probably don't understand how broken our system really is. And a lot of people, this has been a wake-up call. It's been a, oh my God, really? It's this horrible? Yes, it is. Thank your lucky stars you haven't had to deal with this system in any way, shape, or form. If you were that far out of the woods and didn't know what was going on in the forest, you can be forgiven if you didn't know. But now that you do know, now it's up to you to, well, let your voice be heard, because it's broken. In California, involuntary commitment is governed by something called the Lanterman-Petras Short Act. It was passed in 1967, and it was signed by Ronald Reagan. The intent, initially, okay, kind of noble. End the abuses of the old asylum system. Remember these stories? And some were very true. Some asylums, as we had them, and I know this for a fact. I've done many research projects on this, actually, for another podcast that we do about ghost stories. There were some that were very well-kept. They were respectable. They treated their patients well. There were some that were literally the 13th gate to hell. And then there was everything in between. It needed reform. It didn't necessarily need to be completely destroyed and abandoned. Because when you completely destroy and abandon whatever kind of rails you have on a system that is designed to try and keep the padding, although sometimes it looked more like spikes, around people who could be dangerous to themselves or others, and of course there were some that weren't at all, but a lot of them were. When you just suddenly remove all of that and say, good luck, things don't end well. And in the United States, they did not end well. And we are still seeing the repercussions of that to this day. So the intent was to end the abuses of the asylum system. That was the intent, where people could be locked away indefinitely because a family member wanted them gone. That was horrible. Civil rights protections came into place, due process, all good things, okay? But anything can go too far as well. And here's what this law means in practice for families dealing with severe mental illness. You cannot force your adult child into treatment unless they are an imminent danger to themselves or others. They're gravely disabled, meaning they literally cannot provide food, clothing, or shelter for themselves. Keyword is imminent. So someone could be literally sitting there saying, I'm going to blow my head off here. And you call 911. This is in California. And then they get there like, oh no, I was just kidding. It was a joke. They misunderstood. You can't by law do anything about that. You can't take them in if they're going to back out of that. Yeah, it's dangerous. It's extremely dangerous, especially for people who know how to use the system. And look, mental illness does not prevent you from being a cunning individual. In many ways, it's kind of becomes a superpower. So that word imminent, not probably dangerous, not getting worse, not everyone can see this is heading somewhere terrible, imminent. And as of right now, this second, about to happen. If your adult child is psychotic, but technically feeding themselves, you can't commit them. If they're making threats but haven't acted yet, you can't commit them. If they've been violent in the past but aren't being violent at this exact moment, you can't commit them. The law requires you to wait until the crisis is already happening, and by then it's often too late. You're basically saying they have to be kind of in a catatonic state to admit them. Families get one tool. The 5150 hold, 72 hours. Yeah, 72 hours to sanity, right? Should be a reality show. In 72 hours, every single thing that they've been suffering with their mental illness has been gone and vanished, and they're ready to live their lives the way they've always wanted to. No, of course, that's utterly insane. 72 hours will do it. That's it. A police officer or a clinician can place someone into a 5150 if they meet the criteria. The person goes into a psychiatric facility for evaluation treatment 3 days. And then sometimes they don't even make it the 3 days. Sometimes if the facility says, we think they're good after 24, bye-bye, we need that bed. Then what? Let's say you get the 3 days. If the patient says the right things, the addicts are very good at saying the right things. You do realize this, right? They get released, even if the family begs the facility to keep them longer. Even if everyone in the room knows the person is going to walk out and start using again, the patient says rights. The patient can refuse treatment, and the patient walks out the door. Nick Reiner had reportedly been through 17 rehab programs by the time he was 22. Some other numbers being reported go higher than that. That means 17 times the system evaluated him. 17 times it determined he was ready to leave. 17 times it spit him back out into the world because Nick knew how to play the game. He admitted it himself on the Dopey podcast, staying sober just long enough to satisfy the counselors, then going right back to using the moment he was free. The system wasn't designed for people like Nick. It's designed for people who want help. And when someone doesn't want help, when they actively resist it, manipulate it, game it, which is most of the people who go into that system, at least the first round or 10, the system has nothing to offer except a revolving door. So what options did Rob and Michelle actually have? Well, option one, kick him out. Kick Nick out. Let him go. Tell him he's on his own. Watch him disappear into the homeless encampments of Los Angeles. Wait for the phone call that he overdosed under a freeway overpass or froze to death in an alley or got killed in a fight over nothing. This is what the system essentially recommends when treatment isn't working. You can't force him. He has to want it. You need to set boundaries. True, you do. Translation, let your child die and learn to live with it. Or maybe they'll make it through, but you have to take that gamble. And some parents do this. They have to. I'm not saying it is wrong at all. Sometimes you have to do this. Otherwise, they will continue to go down the path they're going down and you get a Nick Reiner situation. We are pointing out here, too, here's your options. What's missing from this equation? That option that actually used to exist was abused, was not managed properly, needs a lot of reform, a lot of help. But there was a third option at one time, another place people could get people that truly did need help for their own safety and the safety of others. But we do not have that anymore. So back to today. For their own survival, for the safety of the other children, they can cut ties. And then they spend the rest of their lives wondering if tonight is the night that they get the call. Option two, hope for an arrest. Sounds insane, but it is real. Some families actually pray their mentally ill child gets arrested, and that, good. For drugs, for theft, for assault, for anything, because jail is sometimes the only institution that will hold them long enough to stabilize, to get clean. The criminal justice system becomes the de facto mental health system. That's where we are. Parents hoping their kids get locked up because the treatment systems won't. Or option three, become an institution yourself. Keep them close, house them, feed them, monitor them around the clock, try to manage their medication, their moods, their episodes. Hope you can hold things together until what? Until they magically get better? Until some breakthrough happens that 17 rehab programs couldn't achieve? This is what Rob and Michelle did. They reportedly kept Nick in the guest house under watchful supervision, except they weren't psychiatrists. They weren't nurses. They weren't trained in crisis intervention or de-escalation. They were a 78-year-old man and a 70-year-old woman trying to manage someone who, according to sources, had schizophrenia and active addiction. A neighbor told the New York Post that Nick had been violent before. An LAPD insider said, there have been quite a few calls for service at the Reiner home over the years. Rob reportedly told friends the night before his death, I'm petrified of Nick. I think my own son can hurt me. He knew. There was nothing he could legally do about it. There is option four, fight for an LPS conservatorship. This is the long-term involuntary commitment option in California. The problem, the bar is extraordinarily high. Gravely disabled doesn't mean clearly deteriorating or obviously dangerous. It means the person literally cannot provide for their own basic needs, and even then the family can't petition for it directly. It has to come from a public guardian's office after the person has already been through the hold process. Even when granted, it has to be renewed every single year. Every year you have to go back to court and fight to keep your adult child in care. According to county officials, conservatorships are granted only in the most extreme cases. Board and care placements are scarce. Funding is inadequate. One public health official described it as a 50-year-old problem that has just gotten worse every year. The system doesn't have the capacity even when it has the will. And here's the part that might surprise people. Money doesn't fix this. The Reiners, they had money. They were reportedly paying $70,000 a month for treatment facilities. They had access to the best doctors, the best programs, the best everything. It didn't matter because you can't buy your way out of a legal system that prioritizes patient autonomy over family safety. You can pay for the nicest rehab in California and your adult child can still walk out after 72 hours if you say or if they say the right words. Now imagine you don't have money. Imagine you're, you know, a normal person, a working class family with a schizophrenic son and a $50,000 household income. Public mental health services are overwhelmed. Wait lists stretch for months. Doesn't exactly translate into immediate help that's needed when there's a mental health emergency. Oh, let me get back to you in a couple months. Community placements are vanishing. For families without resources, the options aren't limited. They're non-existent. Governor Newsom promised to fix this. His Care Court program launched in 2022. It went statewide by December of 24. Family members could petition a judge to order treatment housing services, a care plan. Families were hopeful that finally someone was listening. But according to recent reporting from CalMatters, many of the same families now say Care Court has fallen short. Lovely. It sounds great on paper. And then, oh, yeah. Loved ones dropped from the program for failing to participate in voluntary treatment. The same cycle of jail and homelessness continuing. One mother called it a false hope. The system promised change and delivered paperwork. So let's talk about what Rob and Michelle Reiner reportedly lived with every single day. Because according to multiple reports, they brought Nick to a Christmas party because they were afraid to leave him home alone. They watched him act erratically, reportedly asking guests if they were famous, interrupting private conversations, staring at people until they were uncomfortable. They got into a loud argument in front of everyone. They left early, humiliated and scared. They went home and wondered if that night was the night something would happen. They woke up the next morning, or they didn't. This is what millions of families live with right now. The constant calculus of risk, the exhaustion of vigilance, the knowledge that the person you love could also be the person who destroys you. Rob knew. He reportedly said it out loud at that party. I'm petrified of Nick. I think my own son can hurt me. He was right. And the system gave him no way out. Now, let me be absolutely clear about something. None of this excuses Nick Reiner. Nick chose to game rehab by his own admission. Nick chose to manipulate his parents into distrusting the experts. Nick chose to keep using despite 17 opportunities to get clean. Nick allegedly chose to walk into his parents' bedroom in the early morning hours of December 14th and stab them to death. The impossible situation Rob and Michelle faced, Nick created it. He convinced them the programs didn't work. He convinced them to trust him over the professionals. He engineered the arrangement that put him in that guest house instead of a supervised facility. This is not about letting Nick off the hook. It's about recognizing that his parents were trapped in a system like many, 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 many others are, that offered them no real help. And that millions of dollars and millions of other families are trapped right now in exactly the same way, with no rescue coming. The mental health system failed Rob and Michelle Reiner, but Nick failed them first and longer and more deliberately. The system's failure doesn't erase his accountability. It just means there were two failures instead of one. Right now, tonight, somewhere in California, there are parents lying awake, listening for footsteps, wondering if their child is stable, wondering if the medication is working, and wondering if this is the night everything falls apart. They can't commit their children. They can't force treatment. They can't protect themselves without abandoning someone they love. The legal system tells them their adult child has rights. The treatment system cycles their kid through 72-hour holds and calls it care. The mental health system tells them to set boundaries and practice self-care, as if a scented candle is going to stop a psychotic episode. And when something terrible happens, when a parent ends up dead, when a family is destroyed, we act shocked. We ask, how could this have happened? We demand answers. It happens because we built a system that protects the autonomy of people who cannot safely exercise it and abandons the families trying to keep them alive. It happens because we've decided that civil liberties matter more than civil safety, even when the person with the liberties is a danger to everyone around them. It happens because we've made it nearly impossible to help people who don't want help. And then we blame the families when the inevitable occurs. Rob and Michelle Reiner are dead. Nick Reiner is in a cell at Twin Towers wearing a suicide smock. And somewhere tonight, another family is facing the same impossible choice they faced. Let him go, or watch him die slowly, or keep him close to you and hope he doesn't kill you. That's not a mental health system. That's a coin flip with your life. And guess what? The house always wins. Give me your thoughts in the comments section on our Substack channel, hiddenkillers.substack.com, or just search Hidden Killers there. Or on YouTube, if you're there, do comment. We'd love to get your thoughts on this case. We read the comments in both places. If you want tomorrow's videos today, be sure to check out that Substack channel and be sure to press subscribe. Wherever you're listening to us, wherever you're watching us, please hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any of our reporting. And if you really like it, use Apple Podcasts, a review there, always very much appreciated on Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much for your support of this program. Until next time, my name is Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.